The thing I want to share with you today is I want to share about freedom from the hurts of life. Again, as I was seeking the Lord, I really felt led to talk about freedom from the hurts of life, because people get hurt in life, don't they? And I believe that Jesus is the answer for that. Jesus is the answer for all of our hurts. He's the answer for all the anguish, all the things that we may go through. And so if you'd open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, this is going to be our beginning text. And we want to pray for people today. Pray for those emotional hurts in particular. Pray because Jesus is well able and willing to minister in every area of our lives. Amen. I believe, and I know that most of you believe, that He is our healer physically. Jesus is our healer. You know, yesterday I was at a church. I was filling in for a pastor. They meet on Saturday mornings because they don't have their own facility. They have to rent out another church's facility. So they meet on Saturday mornings. And so in Pittsfield, Mass., I was there yesterday and ministered on divine healing. Christ the healer. Physical healing is what I majored on yesterday. But today, as I was trying to get the leading of the Lord, I really felt that He wanted me to talk about this idea of emotional healing. And the fact that there are hurts in life that people are facing. And yet Jesus came to deliver the whole person, didn't He? Spirit, soul, and body. Do you believe that today? You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul writes, he says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And so those three parts of man, the soul, usually being understood as the mind, will, and the emotions, is something that God wants to minister to and help people in order so that they might be free. You know, He wants you free in every area of your life without any baggage. You know as well as I do, a lot of folks carry around a whole bunch of baggage, don't they? And you know, I think it's probably safe to say everybody does to a certain extent. But you know, the longer we're in Christ and the longer we get the Word of God in us and the more we get our minds renewed to the Word of God, the less baggage we ought to be walking in. We're leaving that baggage behind. Amen? Is everybody with me here today? All right, so let's pray before we read our scripture. And again, Philippians chapter 3, you can go to the next frame and show them that reference. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to read, but we're going to pray. Ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive and your word is powerful. And Father God, your word has the ability to help our minds be renewed, to bring healing, as your word says in Psalm 107, that you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Your word has the power to heal and to deliver. And so, Father God, we thank you that as we delve into the word of God this morning, you're going to open up the eyes of our understanding. You're going to minister to hearts. You, by your Holy Spirit, know exactly what every person needs in order to help them along the way. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one thing I do want to say before we read the scripture is this. I am not in any way, proposing that one message about being free from the hurts of life is in any way going to solve everybody's hurts in life. But my prayer is that as we share along these lines, it's going to set the stage. It's going to give you somewhere to start in order so that you might continue on and receive more and more that freedom that He wants you to have in your life. You understand? I would be foolish to think that one message is going to free everybody up right away. But if you'll apply these principles, if you'll get them into your heart and into your mind, I believe that over a period of time, you're going to receive more and more freedom in your life. Does that make sense to you? Amen. And so let's read this passage to start with. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. If you're there, say yes. It says this, Paul, by the Spirit of God, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so in this passage, the Apostle Paul, he's talking about, first of all, he's talking about, you know I have not arrived. In other words, the way it's understood, I have not apprehended. I have not arrived. I've not attained perfection in any way. But he says this, I'm going to forget the things that are behind that I might reach forward. Notice how it reads it in the New Living Translation up on the screen. It brings it into a more understandable English for you and me. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on. Everybody say, press on. He presses on, he says, to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And so you'll notice that he says, notice as we emphasize a few things on this, he says this, he says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know, I would submit to you this, that the Apostle Paul, when he says forgetting the past, that doesn't mean that he totally had it obliterated from his mind, that he could not remember the things, the failures, the things that he had gone through in his life. But I would submit to you that to forget the past means that even though you may remember it, it's not affecting you or hindering you today. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? And the reason why I know that is, for example, in the scripture, Paul talks about things that he did in 1 Corinthians 15:10, or verses 19 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 15. He said this, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And so he remembered even the persecution that he put on the church before he became a believer. And so he remembered that. But remember what we read in Philippians 3. He said, "But I'm going to forget the things that are in the past." In other words, I'm not going to let my past keep me from my future. And you and I need to have that same mentality. We're not going to let our past keep us from our future. We remember our mistakes. We remember our failures. I remember mine. Sometimes, to be honest with you, at night, I lay there trying to go to sleep, and I believe it's the adversary just reminding me of stupid things I've said or foolish things I've done and trying to get me discouraged, everything else. But I am reminded that we forget those things that are behind so that we can reach forward into the future that God has for us. Amen? Because everyone has failed at one time or another. Everyone has messed up. And I'm not talking about necessarily really, big-time sins, all right? I'm talking about foolish things. I mean, things that I've said that were just dumb things. Those are some of the things that bother me the most. Or things, or attitudes, bad attitudes, or whatever the case may be. And you wish you could just talk to everybody you've ever had a bad attitude toward or said something you shouldn't have said and just ask them to forgive you, say, "I'm sorry," and all that kind of thing. But of course, over time, that's practically impossible because you don't even know how to find all those people. Isn't that right? You follow what I'm saying? But forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forget those things and forgive yourself so you can move on to the future that God has for you. And he's got a future. You know, sometimes folks, and I think there might be some here today, you've been so dragged down by your past, by the baggage, that you really don't even sense that you have a future. You've lost hope for the future. You've lost hope for anything getting better in your life. I want to submit to you, that is not of God. God's got a future, and he's got a hope for you. He's got a plan for your life, and it's a plan for good. It's a plan for blessing as you follow him in your life. You understand, amen? Is everybody with me? Amen. Notice this quote from C.S. Lewis, who back in the 50s, he was a well-known defender of the faith, a former atheist. He said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Amen? I mean, you know, we can't change the past, but boy, we can change the here and now, which will affect our future as well. Isn't that right? That's a great quote, isn't it? I'm going to read it again just because I like it. "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." And so these things I really encourage you to take to heart today, that today is a new day. Today is a new day. Think of today as a new day. The old is gone. Every day you have an opportunity to start afresh and to do better. Is that not right? And to do that which God has called you to do. You know, people have been damaged emotionally since the fall of man. Isn't that right? Is everybody with me here today? I delineated some of them in my notes here. Cain, you know, after the fall of man, Cain is jealous of Abel and kills him. I mean, Lamech introduces polygamy to the world. Noah, the most righteous man of his generation, gets drunk and curses his own grandson. Lot, when his home is surrounded by the men of Sodom who want to sexually violate his visitors, he offers his own daughters to be sexually abused. Later, his daughters get him drunk and get impregnated by their own father. And remember, Lot is the most righteous man in Sodom. Those were sad days, wouldn't you say? I mean, we could go on and on. Abraham plays favorites between his sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac plays favorites between his sons, Jacob and Esau, and they became enemies, Jacob and Esau, for about 20 years. The two brothers are enemies, and much of which the reason is because the father showed favoritism toward the son of Jacob. Isn't that right? You know, you go through the list, and it could go on and on and on. And, you know, if you read some of the stories in the Old Testament of these families, you'd say, man, these people need therapy. But how many of you know Jesus is our therapy? Amen? Amen. And so praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. You could write it down or whatever, but I want to give it to you. Let's read it from on the screen here, if you will. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice now, that high priest is who? It's Jesus, our high priest, amen? And it says that he is not one that cannot be touched with or sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And as that states, he was tempted at all points, such as we, yet without sin. He never failed. But yet he can sympathize because he became a human being. God became a man. It says he can sympathize or he can have compassion. Now the word weaknesses up on the screen, the word weaknesses in Hebrews 4:15 means feebleness of body or mind, by implication malady, moral frailty, to lack strength, mental, moral, and emotional weakness. When we're talking about baggage, you know, we're talking about emotional baggage and being free from that. That would include this idea of mental, moral, and emotional weakness, because baggage makes you weak. Isn't that right? And so it says he is touched, as the King James says, with the feelings of our infirmities or our weaknesses, if you will. And then the word sympathize, as it is in the New King James and as I read it to you, the word sympathize means to be affected with the same feeling as another. In other words, he knows how you feel. He knows how you feel. He's never fallen into it, didn't fall into it. He had no sin of his own, but he knows how you feel. And so he's touched with the feelings of your infirmity. He's touched with the feelings of your brokenness. You think of the things Jesus went through. I mean, he went through betrayal. He knows what it means to be betrayed. Some of you might have baggage in your life because you feel like you've been betrayed. Is everybody with me here? Jesus knows how you feel. He was betrayed. He was betrayed. Isn't that right? I mean, he was, if you will, slandered. If you've been slandered, if people have talked evil about you, people have talked wrong about you, all that kind of thing, Jesus sympathizes with the feelings of your weaknesses because he was slandered, was he not? I mean, they accused him of doing miracles by Beelzebub, the father of lies, Satan himself. I mean, he was slandered time and time and time again and betrayed, as I said, and many other things. He can relate to some of the things, in fact, all the things, because he's God as well, all the things that you've been through. Isn't that right? Now, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to see some things. I know I don't have a lot of time. And this passage is so important, and it tells us really what I'm going to read is going to tell you what Jesus' mission was when he came to the earth. This is his mission statement, if you will. In Luke chapter 4, notice as we read, and he's quoting from Isaiah 61. It's a messianic prophecy in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Are you there? Say yes. He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so he says here, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. I've been anointed or I've been empowered to do these things. And would you agree with me that he accomplished what God the Father sent him to do? Isn't that right? And so he was anointed, he was empowered to do these things. Let's look at each of those individually and see what they encompass and see how they apply to you and I as well. Up on the screen, preach the gospel to the poor. Notice what it reads. To herald the good news to those who are destitute of wealth, position, influence, and honor. Those who literally cower before a great God. Jesus came to the needy financially and spiritually. Those that were poor financially, those that were poor, more importantly, spiritually, he came to bring good news. Good news to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. Isn't that right? So he came to help people out of those situations, first and foremost, spiritually. Because those that don't know Christ are in poverty spiritually, aren't they? And that is obviously the most important thing, that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they receive the riches of that inheritance, the riches of that glory, that new life, that new creation as they become that by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then he also, you know, he hates poverty. He hates, I'm talking about financial poverty. He hates poverty. We read the scripture for the offering about don't worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Isn't that right? He hates poverty because poverty hurts people. You, if you have children, grandchildren, you don't want them to be poor. You don't want them to be scratching to have sustenance for life. Isn't that right? You want them taken care of. You want them provided for. Isn't that right? Well, our Heavenly Father loves us more than we could even love our own children or grandchildren, whatever the case may be. And so preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He's also been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. And this really deals with what we're talking about here this morning about receiving healing for the hurts in life that have come into our lives. He's the healer of the broken in heart. Notice the cure to those who have suffered extreme sorrow. Now notice this word, brokenhearted, it speaks to those who have been crushed. That word brokenhearted means those that have been crushed with life, trampled upon, broken in pieces, shattered, bruised, and smashed in life. Literally to be under the foot of a conqueror. Some of you are thinking to yourself, I think that you're probably thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm pretty crushed by life. I've been trampled on by life. I've been smashed by life so many times. Well, I want you to know that Jesus can restore you. Jesus can bring healing to you. He wants to do it, and he's anointed to do it, and he's the same today that he was when he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61 and walked on this earth. Isn't that right? He's the same today. He's still the healer of the broken in heart. In fact, in other scripture, it talks about, in fact, it's right there, the Lord is near. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. And so this idea, he's near those who have a broken heart. And we know that he's more than near. He's within us if we're saved. Amen. And so that idea of being near us means that he cares about it. He comes alongside. He nurtures us. He comforts us. The Holy Spirit himself is called the Comforter. Isn't that right? And so you can receive that. You know, sometimes I think that when you're experiencing brokenheartedness, you know, sometimes people, they get mad at God. They get all upset with God. And by doing that, they kind of put a wall between them and God. And that's the worst thing they can do. Isn't that right? But when you're brokenhearted, the best thing to do is say, God, I'm brokenhearted, I'm crushed, I'm shattered in life. Father, I need your presence. I need to know that you're present. Father, I need you near. I need to know you're near. We know he is, but sometimes we just need to be open and honest with God and say, God, I need to know about your nearness. I need to sense your nearness in order so that I can get through this situation. Does that make sense to you? And so he's the healer of the broken in heart. Also, he's the one who came to preach deliverance to the captives. Literally, those taken by spear or sword is that idea, to declare that there is freedom to everyone held captive by Satan's spear. How many of you know that Jesus came to set the captives free? And if you're carrying bondage, if you're carrying baggage in your life, then you've not totally received that freedom that he has for you, that he came to bring. He came to set the captives free. So we ask the question, you know, what is keeping you in captivity? It might be just guilt and condemnation from the past of things that you've done. It may be sin that you know that you're still bound to, no matter what that sin might be. It could be a variety of things that you might still be held captive by, and especially as we're dealing with this particular subject, the hurts of life, it would be things you're held captive by in terms of condemnation, guilt, embarrassment, shame from your past. Jesus came to set you free from the shame and the condemnation in your life. He doesn't want you walking around in life burdened by those things. He wants you to be free. And you know, these kinds of things, you know, when your past possesses you in that way, it's really not just in your past anymore. It's affecting your present. So the past becomes your present because it's still affecting you. Isn't that right? And so, you know, you think about that. That, therefore, affects your relationships with others. You know, a lot of people, I would submit to you, a lot of people go through divorce because of the baggage they brought into the marriage, and they're not able to deal with that. And so that condemnation or guilt or shame affects their relationship with their spouse. Sometimes the idea of not just condemnation and shame, but also insecurities. A lot of times shame causes insecurity, doesn't it? Is everybody hearing what I'm saying to you? Shame will cause insecurities. Condemnation will cause insecurities. And I would dare say that insecurities are one of the biggest hindrances to marriages today. People feeling insecure, so much so that one word from a spouse that somebody might interpret, that other spouse interprets as being derogatory, whatever. I mean, they're just sensitive. It's like picking at a wound that's starting to heal, but it's not healed. And so they hear things that are not really the way somebody intended for it to be understood, and they're hurt by it, and so it causes friction. Are you following me here? But it's not the way they wanted it to be. They didn't mean it that way, but because it hit a nerve, so to speak. And then it causes friction in their lives. But Jesus said in John 8, 31 through 36, this isn't the whole verse I'm going to quote, but he said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He wants the captives free. The word of God in your heart and your mind coming out of your mouth is going to help you to be free. Going on with this for time's sake, notice Colossians 1:13. This is a great scripture. I have this scripture memorized. I quote it quite often. You ought to get it on the inside of you. You see what it says. He has delivered us. Notice the has is past tense, right? And so again, the legal right you have. In other words, legally, he has already delivered you. By going to the cross, by bearing your shame, by bearing your sins of the past, by taking the punishment for them, he has already delivered you from the powers of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so you don't go around saying, God, I need deliverance. I know some of you heard me say this before, but somebody needs a reminder. You don't go around saying, I need deliverance. You go around saying, I am delivered in Jesus' name. I'm already delivered in the name of Jesus. And so, Satan, take your hands off of me in Jesus' name. Amen? And sometimes along with that, you need to remind the enemy and yourself that you are no longer a sinner, but now you're the righteousness of God in Christ. See, you know, technically it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, implying that God doesn't see us as sinners if we've accepted Christ. We may sin, but we're not sinners, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. So we need to stand on what God has made us, even if we fail and don't come up to that measure, and we won't till Jesus comes, but we need to stand on who he's made us be. Amen? He wants us to live life abundantly. He wants us to have a life that we rule and reign in. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, we won't take time to go there, it talks about that we will reign in life by the gift of righteousness, understanding our right standing with God, the fact that in God's sight we've been acquitted, we've been made innocent in the sight of God. And so that helps us, what? That helps us to reign or rule in life. Instead of life ruling over you, you should rule over life. And you think about even in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27, 28, God says, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the face of the earth, over every living creature, etc. And so dominion, subdue it, have dominion over it. God created us to be those that have dominion and rule and reign over life and not have life rule and reign over us. Amen? But you see, we have to appropriate that. We have to speak God's word. We need to believe God's word. We need to not allow the battle in our mind to cause us to go the other direction. Let's believe God. Let's fight that good fight of faith, and that fight is primarily in your mind. Isn't that right? Is everybody doing all right today? Amen. Because, you know, even in church life, you know, we talk about families and marriages and whatever. How about in church life? A lot of times people get offended. And a lot of times it's because it's in their mind, certain things that are not actual. A lot of people think certain things, but it's not actually the way it is. And so they get offended because somebody looked at them wrong. They get offended because I was running around. I couldn't say hello before service today. They get offended for a variety of reasons. Isn't that right? But you know, they don't face reality. Reality is not that way oftentimes. Now, sometimes people get legitimately offended, but I've made up my mind, I will not be offended. I cannot afford to be offended. And really, neither can you. Because offended means that you've taken the bait. You've taken the bait to hold something against somebody else, and I refuse to take the bait because I am free in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Because when we get offended, if we hold an offense, how many of you know that causes captivity, doesn't it? That causes captivity, so you just need to reject that in Jesus' name. And then also, how about this? Recovering of sight to the blind. The mentally, spiritually, and physically blind. Satan's power to deceive. When we talk about mentally, he is a deceiver, isn't he? And that's his greatest weapon against you and me, is deception. But we know the remedy for deception is in the book, amen? The truth of God's word. And so we recognize that deception as well. And of course, he wants to give sight. We saw Jesus demonstrated it, gave physical sight to the blind. Jesus is the healer in every way, as I've already stated, spirit, soul, and body as well. And then to speed this up just a little bit, he also came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Don't raise your hand, but I know that there are people that have been bruised by life. And that's what we've been talking about here this morning. Isn't that right? Being healed from the hurts of life, bruised by life, to release this idea of liberty, to release from bondage those that have been crushed or oppressed. Satan is having a great time at the expense of God's children. He's no right to trash your life. He's got no rights in the name of Jesus. He has no right to infiltrate your mind. He has no right to devastate your life. And you have the authority over him in Jesus' name. Amen? And, you know, you can look up those scriptures, but you have authority in Jesus' name. You don't have authority in yourself, but you've got delegated authority in the name of Jesus. So important that we grasp that and exercise that in our lives. And then the final thing is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's a little blind to us. But this is an allusion, as you can see up on the screen. This is an allusion to the year of Jubilee. When all the enslaved in Israel received their freedom, Leviticus 25, you can read the year of Jubilee. Land was returned, debts were forgiven, and everyone was given a fresh start in life. And so when he says the acceptable year of the Lord, every scholar I've read after says that's a reference to the year of Jubilee from Leviticus chapter 25, where all the enslaved people, they were set free in Israel. You know, they became bond servants. They were set free. Land that their family had lost because of debt was restored back to them. Everybody got a fresh start. And you know what? Jesus came to preach a fresh start. And you know what? Even though you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, as I stated earlier, we can have a fresh start every day if we'll let go of the past, if we'll let go of it by faith. And whenever the thoughts rise in our hearts, in our minds, whenever those thoughts rise up in us, we reject those thoughts and say, I'm not hanging on to that. I've got a future, I've got a hope, and I'm leaving that behind and moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, again, you know, that is, you know, I wanted to mention some things here, what we have in Christ. Again, this helps us. I'm not going to delineate and talk about all these things, but if you go to the next frame, Josh, here it is. Now, what we have in Christ, we have acceptance. Say, I'm accepted. Aren't you glad he accepted you? Amen. You're accepted. Unconditional love from God. God has unconditional love. Now, his promises are conditional, but his love is unconditional. You have access to God. Think about all these things and what freedom and what power there is in this. The fact that you have been accepted by God, you have unconditional love by the creator of the universe. You have access to God. You are free in the name of Jesus. And then going on to the next frame, you have eternal life. You have victory. You have heavenly blessings. You have physical health available to you. You have emotional health available to you as well. And then the last few things, prosperity in every realm, the wisdom of God is available to us. And then to sum it all up, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that he has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, you know, how can we walk in defeat? How can we walk in anything other than victory? When we know what he has done for us, amen? We just let go of these things that hold us back. You know, one thing that I learned from my earthly dad, who would have been 88 2 days ago, but now he's celebrating in heaven. But one thing I learned from him is never be afraid to do something you never did before. because he would do things that he'd never done. He'd ask questions. He'd find out how to build. He built his own house. He did all sorts of things. He built his own in-ground swimming pool and all these various things because, you know, he did electrical work, everything, the plumbing, he did everything. And he didn't necessarily know how to do it, but he found out how to do it. But you know, if he'd let his past keep him back, he wouldn't have been able to build his future. I'm talking about in a natural way. You understand? He wouldn't have been able to. So God has a new beginning. Don't ever think you can't. I hear people say, well, I can't do that. I don't have that skill. I don't have that ability. I don't know why I'm in this particular area, but somebody must need to hear that. Don't let these things hold you back. You know, I say, I can do anything. I can do anything God wants me to do. Amen? And I can learn how to do anything. Some people, they limit themselves because maybe as a child, they were always told, you know, you're not smart enough to do that. They might have been told, you're not mechanically inclined. You know what? I believe by faith, I'm mechanically inclined. Amen? And so we delve into this. I'm talking about natural. I'm talking about these practical areas as well. Isn't that right? I never say I can't. Somebody said, whether you say you can or can't, you're right. Because you start saying you can't, you're going to limit yourself right there and there. Isn't that right? No, but I can do and you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me here for a moment? Hallelujah. The beginning of a new start is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allowing Him to bring you forgiveness for your past sin and even current sin. The Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned, you've sinned. We've all broken God's law. And because we've broken the law of God, we deserve punishment. We deserve judgment. But you see, Jesus came. God became a man so that as a man, He could take the punishment that you and I deserved. He wasn't just a man. He was the God-man. And so as the God-man, He was able to take the punishment for all of humanity, for your sin as well as mine. And so He came and He took that judgment. He took that punishment so that He can provide forgiveness and right standing with each of us who will receive that, who will accept that into our lives. And so, as I said, we never want to end a service without giving this opportunity for people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, people in an attitude of prayer. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tomorrow could be too late. Today, later, it could be too late. Because once you breathe your last breath, it's over with. You don't have another choice. You don't have another chance. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Him, would you have enough guts to say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to lift my hand and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to make you come up, but I'm going to pray. The whole place is going to pray with you and lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody at all, unless there be even one here today. Is there one hand? Somebody's pointing that there's a hand. Well, we're going to pray this prayer, all of us together. And so this is based on Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. And so if you believe this, let's all pray this prayer together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that He took upon Himself the judgment, the punishment that I deserve. And so today, I turn from sin, and Jesus, I turn to you. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose again, and He's alive. So Jesus, come into my life. Turn my life around. I surrender to you, and give me that future that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen, hallelujah, amen, amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334. Or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.